102 for our last one this evening. 102.
Amen, another good one. And it is coming.
Yeah. I didn't tell you what key, but it's just all in G. That's what I sang in, mostly G or A flat.
Too late now.
Yeah.
Too late now.
Rick said we sang by the letter, we're back and let her go.
Let her go.
Yeah, y'all had me messed up this morning on that old ship of Zion. I could hear you.
That don't work, does it?
G and
H. Bitch on that note.
That's true. God is a God.
Yeah.
There's a great day coming. A great day.
I see the stars.
bless you, Rita.
I hear the rolling thunder.
Oh my. Think about it.
Touched her this time.
I'm
the fact that she was faithful.
All right.
Good job.
Good job. Anybody else got any songs? All right.
Curly, Sharon, Joanne, anybody?
Got anything?
No.
We're going to have a quick word of prayer. But now I am.
Well, Mark, for you to have a word of prayer, remember Mark's grandmother.
Okay.
They took her to the hospital this evening. She was having trouble breathing, and she was having trouble with her heart going into atrial fib. So just remember her in your prayers. She's 89, and she's been up being pretty active and just till the last month or so. So just remember her in your prayers.
Mark's grandmother?
Yeah.
All right. What about Rick, Rita's brother? Anybody know? We've been praying for him. And Carolyn requested prayer for a lady. She cleans her house, got a growth on her neck here, and just a lot of needs out there. God made a promise to Abraham in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, like that song Rita just sung. And when he couldn't swear by no greater, he swore by his own name. Abraham said, "That's good enough for me, God."
That's right.
But it don't get no greater than God.
No.
Thank God that he's merciful kind. I think they're on the bad side of God. I feel sorry for these that think that somehow they can contend with him, not pay the price for it, help themselves. I'm glad I done bowed my knee this side. I can't wait to see them bow their knee before the great white throne, begging for mercy, wishing they had more sense and in that predicament. But we want to pray tonight, and we're going to turn the floor over to Brother Mark. I appreciate Brother Mark.
Yes.
Love him to death. Proud to have him here. Amen. Great man, my senior in the Lord. And looking forward to hear what the Lord put on his heart tonight. He said something about the King James Bible a while back. And we've been praying for him. He can preach whatever he wants to preach. But I like the sound of that, the King James Bible. We're begotten by the Word.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you right now, buddy, the greatest need today is the Word of God.
Amen.
Even them dry bones. God told Ezekiel, preach to them dry bones. He got to preaching, buddy. Bone come to bone. Amen. They got on their feet, got going again. Amen. We need the Word of God. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, just humble prayer. Lord, just Lord, amazed at what you're doing in this little church, Lord. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for visiting this little house. Like you do, Lord. Oh, my. Lord, thank you, Lord, for coming like you do in this little place.
Yeah.
Lord, doing the mighty works of God, Lord, we just marvel, Lord. Father God, I pray, Lord, for Lord Brenda that our sister Sue mentioned. Father, we pray for her. I pray, Lord, for Diane, Lord. Brenda was a friend of, I believe, Sue's, Lord. We pray for Diane. Lord, we pray, Lord, Father, for Rick, Rita's brother. We pray, Lord, Father, for Mark's grandmother, Lord. We pray, Lord, Father, for Bonnie and Mark's mother, Lord. We pray for Kay. We pray for Brother Mark tonight, Lord. I pray the hand of God be upon my brother, Lord God, tonight. Lord, just give to him, Lord, to give to us. We'll give you the praise and glory. Lord, we pray, Lord Father, for those that are listening today. Lord, they don't even know you personally. Lord, they know of you.
Yes.
Lord, they've never had, Lord, you to take your rightful place upon their heart. Lord, they just don't know what they're missing out on. What a wonderful blessing it is to know the Lord.
Right.
To know Him as your Lord. And Lord, I thank you for that day I got to know you personally, Lord. You
Amen.
Took your rightful place upon the throne of my heart. Lord, that void been filled, made me whole. I thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
I pray, dear God, today for our country. Lord, in as bad a shape as it's in, it's not as bad as others are. Help America, Lord, to build up the bulwarks. Help America, Lord, dear God, to realize what made it great. Lord, that it might get back, Lord, where God could use it again. Help us in this battle, Lord. Lord, there's many enemies, many adversaries. Oh, my help, Lord, I pray. And Lord, we just pray, God, tonight, Lord, for, Lord, others that have requested prayer. Lord, in need of prayer, we lift them all up to you, Father, in this humble prayer. Ask God you visit them. Ask, Lord, you to minister, Lord, to their hurt, to their need. Lord, you alone can help. I appreciate Brother Jerry picking out those songs tonight. Where could I go but to the Lord? Yes. Oh my.
Yes.
What a great truth in a song. Bless this service tonight, Lord. There's just a few here, Lord. But Lord, they're good for you. Lord, we just pray, God, Lord, you bless tonight. Have your way tonight, sister. Read a song, that song. Lord, just pure praise. You're just giving you glory. Lord, the stage has already been set. And we'll ask these favors in Jesus' name. And Lord, how great you are. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Mark, you come on, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a good place to be. I'll tell you that.
Amen.
Amen. Well, the Lord said we're two or three gathered. He'd be
all
in the mix.
Right.
What'd he say?
Amen.
So, you think about the times that Jesus was in the midst of people. He fed multitudes.
Sure did.
Raised dead people,
yeah.
Healed sick people.
Yeah, man.
Taught great things that they'd never heard before.
That's right.
And thank God we're still serving.
Amen.
Yeah,
that's
so
right.
He done it then, he can still do it tonight.
Sure is.
And I'm glad that he does. I was thinking today, last night, this morning, sometime, I don't know when it was, if I live till August the 13th of this year, it'll be 35 years I've been in the ministry.
Amen, brother.
Woo!
Amen!
Hey, you look back, and sometimes it seems like it's just like that, and other times you go, oh.
Yeah.
Just kind of way it is, I guess, but 35 years, boy, I tell you, just kind of hard to believe. You know, I didn't believe it when the Lord put me into it. But he knows what he's doing. I don't.
Amen.
But I'm glad that he's still faithful.
Amen.
He's still able.
Sure is.
You know, preaching is something that can't be taught, but it can be caught.
Yeah.
Now, you hang around preachers, you're going to learn some stuff.
Amen, brother.
You know, it's just the way it is. You do. You get around good preachers. I tell you, I think about the years that since I've been saved, 1976, and called to preach 1987, and think about the people and preachers that I've had the privilege and opportunity to hear through the years and be around through the years, and some great men of God gone on to be with the Lord.
Amen.
I think about Brother Cletus Bowman a lot. You know, boy, he was a one of kind.
Amen.
I guess wasn't nobody much like Brother Cleet. He was something else. And Brother Tim Ruckford, I tell you, sure do miss him. I never forget, he preached the first revival here, Brother Tim did. And on a Wednesday night, I think it was, he preached about that woman that wiped Jesus' feet with her hair.
Yeah.
And Rita got saved that night.
That's right.
And not that Rita, but Rita Hurt.
Yeah.
So I never will forget that. And, you know, you when God puts people like that in your life, it just sticks with you.
Amen.
You know?
Yes.
And so I thank God for the men of God that I've been able to hear, be around, see, a bunch of them gone. But, you know, the things that you learn from them.
Right.
And I don't know, just preaching is one of those things that you can elect presidents, but only God can make a preacher.
Amen, Brother Mark.
That's
right.
What it has to be.
Amen.
But thinking about they were working on this construction site, and this man got killed. And some people worked around him, they were good friends with him, and boy, they were devastated that it happened. And they knew his wife was really just a real nervous place, and they knew that it was just going to really tear her up. And they thought, well, we can't go tell her because we were good friends with both of them. And when we get there, we're just going to break down. That's just going to make her worse.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to try to get somebody to go break that news to her that it won't bother her so bad. So they had this one guy. He's kind of new on the job. And so they talked to him, said, look, here's the deal. Said, we real good friends. This guy, his wife is really a nervous woman. And it's a bad thing, but it's going to be worse if somebody don't go over there and do it with some tact to try to help her. So they talked him into doing it. So they told him where she lived, gave him the address. Well, he drove and got up to the door. He went, the woman come to the door. He said, "Are you Widow Smith?" Well, I'm Smith, but I ain't no widow. He said, "That's what you think." Well, I guess that was not a good way to go back. Oh, Lordy. Merry heart do good like a medicine.
Yeah, that's right.
Brother Cleet, you say if you get them happy at the beginning, maybe take longer to get them mad through the preaching. Turn your Bibles tonight. We're going to go a couple of places, but we're going to start in the book of Psalms.
Amen.
I love Psalms, man. Yeah. I read them and study them, pray over them. It's my favorite book of the Bible.
Amen.
And I'm not making light of all the other part of the Bible, but I don't know. It's just one of the books that I just, if God give me one book to use the rest of my life till He come, I'd pick Psalms.
Amen.
I don't think you'd ever get out of it.
No.
I remember when we were still over on the porch over there.
Yeah.
You know, if y'all remember one time on a Sunday night, I preached through the Psalms for a year on Sunday night.
Yes, you did.
And didn't even scratch what was in it. Amen. I love Psalms. I just love to read them. Psalms 119.
Oh my.
And of course, it's the longest chapter of the Bible.
Yeah, that's right.
It is. This specific chapter is what Charles Spurgeon called the golden alphabet because it's broken down into 22 divisions, and each division has 8 verses.
Yeah.
And when you add all that up, those 8 verses total up to 150, and each one of those 22 sections deals with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And they each part of those 8 verses and whatever that letter is and whatever it describes, those 8 verses will be what goes along with that Hebrew letter.
That's right.
So this is just a good book. But I want to look at verse number 71 tonight. Psalm 119 and verse 71.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to tell you, this is a whole lot easier to read than it is to live. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Father, I ask you to bless the word of God tonight, and I ask you to help me to write and divide it tonight, Lord, to be a help to these people tonight, and Lord, to help us to see some things, Lord, that would help us to learn some things, Father. And I believe, Father, that you don't do anything without a purpose and a reason in their lives, and Lord, even afflictions, God, that you use them for our good. We may not see it, but God, you do. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us to realize, Lord, that those are for our good and our need and our understanding, our learning. And I just ask you to help us tonight and help me again to write and divide the word of truth tonight. And I give you the praise and the honor for it. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, back up there, verse number 67, right. Knows what he said. Before I was afflicted, I went astray.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now have I kept thy word.
Yeah.
So affliction is not something that's my favorite thing. I don't like affliction. I if it's my choice, I just soon sail on from here to heaven with no problem.
Yeah.
But that ain't going to happen.
No.
That's right.
God never promised us an easy journey in this life.
Amen.
Matter of fact, it seems like the closer we get to becoming the Lord, the worse the affliction seems to be getting, especially in the world.
Amen.
And as a Christian living in this world, we're going to have to suffer some of the affliction of other people.
That's what Jesus said,
You know, it's not right, but, you know, it's just the way it is. When good people do good things, people get a blessing out of it.
Right.
But when people do bad things, then the good have to get punished for the bad that other people do. That's the affliction we have to deal with. You know, anybody that said once you get saved, you got it made. Well, you do. In the long run, you got it made.
Yeah.
But until you get to where it's made, you ain't got it made.
Right. Amen.
Right. Amen.
And so, affliction is a hard thing, but it is a necessary thing for us.
to learn some things. I like what it said there, that I might learn thy statutes.
Yeah.
That word statutes means teachings or understandings of the Word of God or the laws of God. And those things are necessary for us to go through them so that we can grow,
right,
and look back and say, boy, you know, when you go through afflictions and when you get out on the other side of it and you look back how God brought you through it, you're just amazed how good God is.
Amen, Brother Mark.
Even when you're in valleys, that's how He is.
Amen.
Now, nobody, I don't care who they are, saved or lost, nobody is immune from affliction. Everybody suffers affliction. We all do. Now I want you to go over to the book of Job for just a minute. Then we're going to go over to the book of 2 Corinthians. Job, chapter number... get over here where I want to go. Chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. The book of Job. Now look what it said. Although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground, yet man is born under trouble.
Yep.
As a spark fly upward. Now look at chapter 14.
Oh my.
The same book. Verse number 1. Now, I guess if there's anybody that could say they had the right to teach about what affliction is, Job would have been in.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Notice what he said now in verse 1. Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Now, when we were born in this life, we were born into trouble. It's just one of those things that here we are. And affliction is one of those things that we have to deal with, we have to live with. Nobody's immune to it. Everybody has to suffer it at times or another. Some afflictions are different. Not all afflictions are the same.
Right.
It's just like the cross you carry today may not be the cross you have to carry tomorrow.
Amen.
But Jesus said, if you deny yourself, let Him take up His cross.
Right.
Deny Himself, take up His cross and follow me.
Yeah.
Now that cross that I have to carry today may be different tomorrow, but
right,
still having to carry the cross.
Amen.
One for something. And I remember reading something one time about a young man who had been just under some heavy struggles, and seemed like the cross he was carrying was heavier and heavier and heavier every day.
Yeah.
And he was just burdened down with it in such a way that he just couldn't go, and it just seemed like it got worse and worse, and he just prayed and prayed, and it was and finally the Lord just come to him and said, son, I can hear your petitions and I hear your moanings and your groanings, and so you can lay that cross down, and here's a whole room full of them, and you can just go through here and pick out the one that you think would be the best. So he laid the one down he had, and he went through this room of crosses. He seen some big, some little, some in between. Some would be heavy, some not so heavy. Some one color, one another. One thing of one trouble, one thing of another trouble. And finally he come over here to this little wall, and he seen this cross. And he picked it up, and he said, I think I'll take this one, Lord. And the Lord said, well, that's the one you just laid down.
Amen. How true.
So your cross may not be as heavy as the one Brother Eddie may have to carry.
Right.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. His may not be as heavy as the one you have to carry.
Right.
But we all going to have to carry them.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's just the way it is. And so when somebody gets on TV and tells you, send your money to me and your troubles is over.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Baloney.
Amen.
And it ain't even good baloney. So now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. That's where I want to kind of spend my time tonight, and I want to kind of keep that thought in mind now about what the psalmist said. It is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes.
Yeah.
Now, the Apostle Paul, certainly, I mean, God used him to write the majority of the New Testament.
Yeah.
Certainly he was a troublemaker. before he was ever saved. He caused the church trouble. He persecuted Christians, had some put to death.
Yeah.
And but you know, I read something one time, A.W. Tozer said one time, and he was talking about how when God saves people in their wicked past and what he does for them, and he said, he comes to make worshipers out of rebels.
Yeah.
And that's basically what done with Apostle Paul. He was, or Saul, as he was then.
Right.
But he was a persecutor.
Sure was.
Right. And so there on that Damascus Road, God got his attention that day. And so from then on, Paul was one of the greatest forces of the New Testament that ever lived, because God used him in such a great, mighty way. Yeah. Paul was a smart man. Don't you let nobody fool you. Well. He was not an idiot. He could speak languages.
Right.
He was an intelligent man. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees.
Yeah,
that's
right.
But when God saved him, he come down to the place where eventually we all have to come to this and say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
See, when it comes right down to it, God's not really impressed by our money.
Amen.
Well, if he was, if he's impressed by our money, anyway, he's going to have a hard time finding it on my part.
Yeah.
Brother Cleet said one time, somebody asked him how he was doing financially. He said, well, I like about $42 having 38 cents.
Hey, man.
So, anyway, God's not impressed with your money.
Right.
He's not impressed with your house.
You're right.
He's not impressed with what kind of car you got.
Amen.
He's not impressed with what kind of clothes you got on.
Amen.
So you want to impress God, what will thou have me to do?
That's it.
Wasn't it Isaiah said, here I am, send me?
Here am I, send me.
You know, that's hard. You can't hardly find that today. Here I am, send me. We want everybody else to do it, but we don't want to do it.
Right. Right.
But we want, you know, we want the blessings of somebody else doing it, but we don't want the struggles and the trials that go along with it. But let me tell you what, you will never, ever outgive God.
That's right.
Amen.
Not in money, not in your time, not in your talent, not in your service.
Amen.
God pays back, and when he does, he always pays better than what you give.
Sure is. Right.
But he may not pay it in this life. You know? I heard an idiot the other day, and I call him an idiot because that's what he is. And he's a very prominent preacher. If I call his name, y'all probably know who he is. I don't know. I was scanning through TV or something, and when I see him, I usually just go past it. But I just stopped there for a second, and I heard him make his statement. Well, the Bible said to give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, running over, so men give it unto your bosom. And he said, I give to God, so he will owe me.
Oh, no.
Oh, my.
And I thought, well, you dummy. God don't owe us nothing.
Amen.
He don't owe me nothing.
No.
Amen.
Everything that God owes is on my part to him.
That's right.
Amen.
But I thought, how stupid can a statement like it, well, I give to God, so he owes me.
Oh my.
He don't owe you nothing.
Yeah.
Everything he does for you is acts of mercy because of the work of his son at Calvary.
That's it.
He blesses me because of his son.
Yeah.
He saved me because of his son.
Yeah.
He keeps me saved because of his
Amen.
Son. He loves me because of his son.
Oh,
I don't deserve nothing.
No. Right.
Amen, brother Mark.
Right.
But he loved me on his ground.
That's right.
That's right.
So God don't owe me nothing, but I owe him everything.
Oh, yes.
Right.
And so the Apostle Paul was certainly one of those men that was acquainted with trouble and afflictions. I mean, you think about it, Paul reaped a lot of what he sowed in his walk with the Lord. He persecuted Christians, had them put in prison. Paul spent time in prison and jail, wrote three of the books of the Bible from a jail cell. Paul suffered great things.
That's right, Mary. Amen.
Somebody said one time, it's believed that Paul was beheaded. But somebody said you could cut his head off, but you couldn't head him off.
Amen.
And so that's the way Paul was. But
yeah.
he was a dedicated man,
yeah,
no matter what. But he wasn't immune to afflictions.
Amen.
And as great a man as he was, I believe his flesh got tired,
yeah,
of that burden. I don't care how much close you walk to God, but you're going to get tired of suffering.
Amen.
I do. I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
And you know what? It seems like, you know, the older you get, and I've come to the conclusion, getting old ain't for sissies.
That's right. Amen.
You know, if you would have told me when I was 22 that I'd be like I am now, I would have thought you was nuts.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
And you know, some days are great and some days ain't.
Right.
And so you go through this life, and the older you get, I mean, it's just, I don't know, I guess it's just part of living is getting old.
That's right.
And getting old is... I told my wife one time, I think when she turned 50, and I guess I reap what I sow by making this statement, I think when she turned 50, I said, well, once you get past 50, what don't hurt don't work.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm reaping some on that tape because I have a lot working, because we got a lot hurting. I want to deal with this chapter 12 and look at just a few things, and just keeping in the thought now what the psalmist said, that it was, yeah, good for me that I've been afflicted.
Right.
And I want to just give you something to think about here. Why Paul's thorn in the flesh was good for him.
Mm.
Now, you know, and on the outspot of that, we thought, you know, nothing good can come from that. Well, actually it is. But I want to just look at a couple things. I'm not going to deal with the... I'm going to deal with verse 7, 8, 9, and 10, but I want to look at a couple things here in verse 2 and verse number 4. Now, when I was a young preacher, I worked for a man in Bowling Green. His name was Joe Wright. He was a good man, one of the best people I ever worked for. But boy, he was smart as far as the Bible goes. But he thought he knew more than anybody else.
Oh my!
I don't know. I said something one time, and I don't remember what it was we was discussing. But he come up with a statement, and I said, well, Joe, I don't know what to tell you other than what the Bible said, and if you think that's more than I know, then you know more than the one who wrote it. So I don't know how to deal with that.
Yeah.
But we got into a discussion one day about paradise. And, of course, he said, well, paradise ain't what people think it was. It was a place right below the earth. And when Jesus told that thief, today you'll be me in paradise, he didn't mean he went to paradise and hit with him. And at that time, I was, you know, I was still learning. And I didn't know about this. If I did, I hadn't caught on to it. Now, I want you to look what he said in verse 2.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're going to talk about paradise in a minute, and I'm going to get to what I'm going to talk about. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Now look what it said. Such an one caught, which direction?
Up.
Yeah, that's right.
To the third heaven. Now third heaven, you got the first heaven, which is the sky.
Oh, yeah.
The second heaven, which is the celestial, where the moon, sun, stars are. And then the third heaven will be the dwelling place of God.
Amen.
Now, that's what it always said there. Now, look at verse 4. How that he was caught what? Into what?
Paradise.
So which direction was paradise?
Up.
And where was paradise?
Yeah.
Third heaven.
Amen.
That's right.
That's what it says.
That's right.
That's right.
So, you know, I was born in Edmonton, but I know there's a difference between up and down.
Amen.
So, to be caught up means to be caught up.
That's it.
And the third heaven is plain in reference to where it is.
Right.
So, according to what it said, paradise is up, and
yeah,
paradise is the third heaven.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, he's dead now, but if I could go get him up, I'd say, see, I told you.
Yeah. Amen.
Bless you, brother.
good.
Now let's read verse 7, 8, 9, and 10, then we'll come back and talk about it. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Right.
Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. Mm-hmm. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So, taking those four verses on why Paul's thorn was good for him. Number one, it kept him humble.
Sure did. Amen.
Let me tell you what, there ain't nothing that'll keep you more humble than affliction.
Amen.
Right.
Sickness,
right.
Trouble, right. Trials. You know, I don't care how strong you are, when you're going through sickness and troubles and trials, it will humble you.
Sure will. Amen.
Amen.
And you know what's sad? Sometimes God has to put people on their back.
Yeah, it is.
So he can get them look up.
Amen.
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 That's it.
And when you get to that place, I don't care what you got, how much money you got in the bank, it ain't going to make no difference.
Right.
Troubles and afflictions will humble you.
Right. Amen.
It'll keep you humble. Uh-huh. Now, nothing wrong. I don't like it like that, but if that's what it takes to keep me humble, then I would have to say that afflictions is good.
Yeah.
To keep you from being a proud person. Yeah. Now, maybe I'm pride in a good place, but self-righteous pride stinks.
Amen.
I'm proud to be a Christian. I'm proud to be an American.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm proud that I'm saved. I'm proud I'm going to heaven. I'm proud my sins are in the blood.
Yeah.
I'm proud of those things. But to be self-righteously proud is not a good thing.
No.
And if you continue to do that, you know what God's going to do? He's going to put you into affliction, and it will humble you.
Amen,
Martin.
That's right.
Well, God gets your attention.
Amen.
He did it with Apostle Paul. You think about this. Now, what was Paul going to do when God got his attention on that road to Damascus?
Mm-hmm.
He was going to persecute more Christians.
Yeah, right.
Riding that high horse.
Yeah, he was. And then he got a pony horse, a rocking horse, or whatever one call it.
Yeah.
God got his attention through affliction.
Yeah.
Now, I can't imagine in myself. I mean, I know what took place, that God struck Paul down there on that Damascus road, and he lost his sight.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't see. Can you imagine going through your life, being able to see, and all of a sudden, you can't see?
Amen.
What kind of a humbling experience that must have been.
Had to depend on us.
I don't know. Do y'all know Ronnie Millsap?
Yeah.
Y'all remember Ronnie Millsap?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I guess he's still living, far as I know. I heard him tell this one time. It's been a long time ago. He was born in somewhere in North Carolina. He was born with some kind of eye issue, dementia, something. I don't know what it was. But when he was born, he was completely blind in one eye.
Mm.
But in the other eye, he had some ability to see some. He couldn't see like we would see, but he could make out faint images and different things. So he could see enough that he was able to function just a little bit. But he was in this school somewhere in North Carolina and for the blind, and one of the teachers didn't like something that he said, and they smacked him real hard. And when they did, that other eye, the lights went out. And from that day on, he was never able to see another thing.
Wow.
Oh, my.
And he said, man, it tortured me.
Yeah, I know it would.
Because even though I couldn't see good, I could see a little bit. And to know that I would never see again, can you imagine what that would have been like?
Mm-hmm.
Never, never, ever be able to see again. He told a thing one night, he was singing somewhere at a military base for the military people, and this guy asked him, said, Ronnie, you want to drive? He said, yeah, I like to drive. And so the guy got behind him and put his hand on his shoulder. And he said, if I tap you on this shoulder, you turn right. If I tap you on this shoulder, you turn left. If I tap you on both shoulders, you stop. And so they was going down the road and said he was doing, you know, fair. And this one guy said, man, y'all better let me out. I ain't riding no car, no blind man. So they let this one guy out. He's going down the road, and one of the military police pulled him over. And thought they was, he thought may have been drunk because he's kind of driving erratically. And said, sir, would you mind stepping out of the car? And said, I was blind as a bat. And said, I stepped out of the car and I had my hands up on the hood and everything. And that guy was talking to me and asking me. And me or the other guy never said nothing about being blind. And he said, sir, you just need to be a little more careful when you're driving. And he said, you drove off and let me get back behind the wheel. So, I don't know. But can you imagine what Paul went through when he lost his sight?
Had to get some help.
Mm-hmm. He did.
Yeah.
And God told him exactly where to go get it.
Yeah.
See, when you get into a burden of an affliction like the Apostle Paul was or Saul was there on that Damascus road, God knows exactly where to send you to get
help.
And He knows exactly how to help you when you get
there. Right,
now, of course, when he got there, no scale fell from his eyes and he saw again. Now, I believe, according to what I could learn from the New Testament, Paul obviously had some eyesight problems to begin with. I don't know what it was. There was, during this time, there was probably some kind of demaculate diseases going around, maybe glaucoma and stuff like that. They didn't have the tools to treat people like that back then that we do now.
Amen.
So I believe Paul had eyesight issues through his whole life. Now I don't know whether that was his thorn or not, but whatever it was, it kept him humble.
Sure it is.
Because he said right there, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. You know, when you go to getting too proud, God's going to humble you.
Amen.
So, was Paul's thorn good to keep him humble? I believe it was.
Yeah.
Now look what it said in verse number 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me.
Right.
Something else about Paul's thorn, it not only kept him humble, but it kept him praying.
Amen.
You know what? Most people never pray till they get in trouble.
Yes. That's right.
Do they not?
That's right.
Most people never pray until they get in trouble.
Amen, Brother Mark.
Now, it shouldn't be like that. I mean, instead of making God our last cause, He should have been our first defense.
Right. Amen.
Right.
But sometime when we don't pray and we don't pray and we don't pray, God will put us into a place where we have to pray.
Right.
Amen.
We ain't got no choice but to pray.
Amen.
I remember Brother Cleek telling this. I don't know who the man was. He's somewhere down over in Madisonville. Maybe in Tennessee, wherever he was. But this man, he Brother Cleek said, I never seen nobody like him. Said, if I ever met an individual that believed on living in faith, he made me look puny. And said, he was going to open an orphanage to help orphan kids and raise them. And so he got this house rented to open this orphanage. And Brother Cleet said one day he was going around trying to, he was calling people, said, I need a bus to pack these kids around. Mm-hmm. And so he was calling here and calling there. And said one day, said there was an empty lot over across the road and the man rented it. And somebody said, what are you renting that lot for? He said, for my bus. He said, you ain't got a bus. He said, I'm going to have.
Hey, man. That's right.
So, Brother Clay said, he didn't know what it was to say no.
Yeah.
And said, people thought it was crazy. He rented an empty lot to have a bus he didn't even have. But he said, I'm going to get it. And said, one morning they got up and said, lo and behold, there was a bus sitting on that empty lot.
Yeah, man.
Now, you know,
I'm improving.
Praying is something that is as important as the blood that pumps through our body.
That's right.
It is. We God. That's how we communicate with God.
Amen.
It's through prayer. Now He communicates with us through the Holy Spirit, through His Word, sometimes through other people. But we talk to God through prayer.
Amen.
And so when we don't pray, what's He do? He puts us under affliction.
Yeah.
And so what does He do? He gets us to pray. Now, I used to think, and a matter of fact, I did think this for a while until God showed me better, that God didn't answer Paul's prayer. But that's not so. God did answer Paul's prayer. He just didn't answer it the way Paul asked.
Amen.
You know, God's not obligated to answer what you ask the way you ask.
Amen.
But if you ask in faith, He'll answer, but it may not be the answer you want.
You're right.
So he prayed about this thing three times. Thrice means he prayed about three times.
Right.
When you are under affliction, you pray about 100 times if you think it gets you 100.
You're right.
And people don't want to never talk to God, talk about God until they get in trouble.
Amen.
And first thing you want to do, let's say the Lord's Prayer. Well, the Lord's Prayer is good, but it ain't going to do you no good if you don't talk to Him before you get in trouble.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
You know, we shouldn't have to be to the place where we have to get to a place where we can pray when we need to pray.
Right.
We ought to be able to pray when we need to pray.
Amen.
That's it.
Is that not right?
Oh, yes.
I don't know if y'all ever heard of a man by the name of John Hyde. He was a missionary to India. They called him Praying Hyde. He was a man, boy, I mean, I used to have a book about Praying Hyde, and it was amazing the hours and hours he would spend in prayer and prayer and prayer and prayer. And he witnessed those Indian people over in India, and he did it, and he won them through prayer.
Amen, Brother Mark.
When we was at Riverview Baptist Church in the 80s, we had a preacher come preach a revival. He was from over in Virginia, West Virginia. His name was Bob Ferguson. Now, he told this about his brother. Their dad was not saved. And one night, Bob's brother had been to a revival and he got home and he had gotten a burden for his daddy to be saved.
Mm.
Wanted his daddy to be saved.
Amen.
And he said, "Lord, I want my daddy to be saved and I'm going to meet you every night from midnight to daylight in prayer until you save my daddy."
Praise God. Amen.
And he said, "I'd go to churches and preach and sometimes I wouldn't get home till 9:30, 10. And I'd get a little sleep, and I'd get up at midnight, and I'd go in the bathroom where my prayer closet was, and I'd shut that door, and I'd stay in there till daylight."
Wow.
And I prayed, and I prayed, and he said, "I promise God, I'm going to meet you from midnight to daylight till you save my daddy."
Amen.
He said, one morning about 2:30, said I was praying, and said that burden just was gone.
Amen.
And he said, he got up the next morning to go to work and said, when I went out to get in my car, here come my daddy coming around the curve. And he said, he got out and said, "Son, I got something to tell you." He said, "I know you got saved last night about 2 o'clock. He said, "Yeah, how'd you know?" He said, "The Lord done told me."
Yeah.
And he told this, Bob told this about his brother. From the day he started that prayer until God took that burden off of him was 13 months.
Wow. Wow.
Praise the Lord.
But see what God did?
That's right.
Yeah.
He answered his prayer.
Amen.
You know what? A shame to all of us.
Yeah, that's right, brother.
We pray 13 minutes. We think it's too long.
Yeah, that's right.
13 months. From midnight to daylight. 13 months.
Wow.
Said he never missed a day till God saved him.
Amen. Praise God.
I would say it'd be worth that.
No,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Amen.
To see somebody in your family be saved.
Yeah.
God
yeah.
forgive their sins.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Smack, get them, I mean, make the devil mad.
Yeah.
13 months. Paul prayed about his thorn 3 times. Now, I believe he probably prayed for more than that, but I believe here it said he sought the Lord about three times.
Yeah.
And I said, I used to think God didn't answer it, but God did answer it.
Boy, you got to answer.
But not the way Paul. He wanted it removed.
Yeah.
But it was sufficient. And we do it, and there ain't no need to lie about it. Yeah. We get in trouble, first thing we want to do, God, get us out of this.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, it may not be God's plan to get you out of it just yet.
Yeah.
So, why? Sometimes that affliction teaches us stuff.
Oh my God, yeah.
That we won't learn from the world.
Right, right.
We won't. That the world can't teach us the things of God. The world may cause us some humility and humble us some things, but it really can't teach us the right kind of humility.
Amen,
right. And it certainly can't teach us how to pray. We can pray about things, but it can't teach us how to pray.
Amen.
You know, you can't be really taught how to pray. You have to pray to learn to pray.
Right. Amen. That's true.
Amen. That's true.
Yeah. I used to preach in Indianapolis quite a bit, and there was a man up there, his name was Dan Flutie. I don't know if he's still living or not. Me and my wife was talking about another night. Man, he sang. Oh, Lord, he had such a great spirit about him. And he told us one night, he said, I asked the Lord to help me learn to pray. He said, the Lord told me, he said, I can't teach you if you don't talk.
Yeah.
And I never forgot that. You're going to learn how to pray. Yeah. You got to pray to learn how to pray.
That's right.
So Paul's thorn kept him praying.
Amen.
Now look what it said in verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee,
right.
For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now there's his answer, really.
Yeah.
Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon
me.
Another thing Paul's thorn did, it kept him dependent.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
You know, we need to be dependent on the Lord.
Amen.
Right.
You know, we put our hope in the wrong things, man.
Yeah,
you're right.
You know, I quit putting my hope in the government.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you can't trust none of them. They're a bunch of dirty scumps.
That's right.
Hey, man.
I don't care, you know. Well, I'll do this. You know, somebody said one time, all fairy tales don't start with once upon a time. Sometimes they start with if elected, I promise.
Yeah. If I'm elected, I promise.
Yeah.
You know, if they ain't crooked when they get in, they'll be crooked when they get out.
Yeah, man.
Only government I put my faith in is the government of heaven.
Amen.
What we should.
Yeah.
I'll say again, thank God for the Supreme Court that they stuck to their guns and they got that ungodly thing turned.
Amen.
That's right.
I'm glad they did. I'm glad somebody loved those babies enough to fight for
them. Amen.
You know what makes me sick? So-called Christians are mad because they turned it over.
Yeah.
I hear you.
I said so-called.
Yeah.
You ought to be mad that they if they hadn't.
Right.
You know, it's sad today that we depend on this and then this and this and this and this. And old black preacher said one time, somebody said, "How you doing, preacher?" He said, "I'm doing good." Said the government's feeding and Jesus is leading.
Amen.
So, but Paul learned to be dependent.
Sure did.
What did he learn? That his strength was sufficient.
Yeah.
Not Paul's strength, but the Lord's strength.
Right.
And he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now, if it's good enough for him, would it not be good enough for us?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We need to be dependent on his grace and his sufficiency.
Amen.
You know, I can't look back in my Christian walk and ever see a time when the Lord failed.
Bless you, Brother Martin.
Now, I can see where I done it, but I can't never see where he done it.
Amen.
Right.
What? Because his grace is sufficient.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, I may not always had what I wanted, but I've always had what I needed.
Amen.
There's a big difference. Paul Stanley said, a lot of things we want, we don't need.
That's right.
Things we need, we don't want.
Amen. Amen.
And you know what we do? We do. Maybe not as much as we did, but we do, or we did. We would spend money that we don't have to buy stuff we don't need to impress people we don't like.
Amen.
Good, that's good.
Did we not?
Yeah.
Have you ever done that?
Yeah.
Sure you have. But you know, you want to be dependent. I don't depend on the government. Amen. It don't make no... I depend on the Lord.
Amen. That's right.
Dependence. Cast thy burden. So was his thorn in the flesh good for him? Sure it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dependent.
Taught him.
Yeah. Now I want you to notice a statement there in the last of verse 9, and then really it just carries over into it, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now Paul's thorn kept him humble, kept him praying, kept him dependent.
Yeah.
But preachers, and really Christians should be able to, but preachers can really identify with this thought.
Oh yes.
That our afflictions and the things we suffer keep us effective.
Bless you, brother. Yeah.
You know, if a preacher ain't effective, he ain't worth the salt. It's in the salt shaker.
Amen, brother Mark. God bless you, preacher.
And he can't make himself effective.
Right.
Who makes him effective?
Lord, got to be.
That's sufficient grace.
Yeah. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
What is it that makes a preacher different? The call of God.
Amen.
Paul said that the power of Christ may rest upon him.
Yes.
You know what? When you see a preacher's got the power of God on him, you'll see it.
Amen.
Right. Oh,
I've seen some that wouldn't. I used to have a book that Roy L. Branson Jr. wrote it, and I threw it away. I'll tell you about that some other day. But anyway, it was Dear Preacher, Please Quit.
No.
And it had some pretty good thoughts in it, that if God ain't called you, you need to quit.
Yeah.
And if God don't, if power of God ain't on you, you need to quit. And if you don't have that, I believe it was Vance Havner said one of the true things that shows a God called preacher is he sends people to listen to him.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Ain't that true?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't preach to impress people.
Right,
but
when
you got the power of God on you, people will see it.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You don't see a whole lot of that no more.
Amen.
You go back to that nut I said, he's wanting God to owe him something.
Yeah, that's right.
You know all that's about?
Oh, my.
Yeah.
It's a shame that preachers don't have the influence over their flock.
Amen, Brother Mark.
Because they're not effective.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Amen.
Ain't none of us immune to problems.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But how we deal with them, how we view them, and if it keeps us humble and praying and dependent and effective, I think it's worth it.
Yeah, it is.
Amen. Amen.
And I think when this life is all said and done and we've shipped out our last breath, and when we get to stand in that city whose builder and maker is God,
bless you, Lord Mark.
I believe we can look back and say, well, it really was worth it.
Yeah.
Amen.
But that old song said, it'll be worth it after all.
Yeah.
Child, it'll be worth it after all.
Amen.
After all of these trials, it's going to be worth it.
Yeah.
Amen.
I don't see it today. And like I said, I don't like it. I don't like affliction. Personally, I just see not. But it has its advantages.
Yeah.
And it's a whole lot better. I can tell you this, it's a whole lot better living for the devil.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Because what he offers ain't much.
No.
Matter of fact, it ain't nothing. I told him here a week or two ago, I said, me and the devil got one thing in common. He hates me, and I don't like him.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, Brother Mark.
So, is it good for us to be afflicted?
Oh, yes.
Yes, it is.
Yes, yes, yes.
It'll keep us humble.
Sure will, brother.
Amen.
Keep us praying.
Sure will.
It'll keep us dependent upon the one who promised to take care of us.
Amen.
And it'll keep us effective.
Yeah.
In the lives of a church, of your family. You know, if you want to be effective to your family, you got to have something on you that's different than what they got.
That's right, Brother Mark.
It's a sad day we live in this country.
Yeah.
That people just don't view the work of God in the way God views it.
It's true, Brother Mark.
For us,
true.
Through us,
yeah.
And to us. if God wants to do something through us, He's got to do something to us.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Amen.
Father, I thank you again for the day. I thank you for the privilege to be able to preach tonight. Ask you, Father, to bless the Word of God tonight. Lord, I've done, Lord, I've just done what you asked me to do. Lord, I pray, God, you take it. You promise that your Word will not come back void. And I just ask you, Father, to sow it in the hearts and minds of the people tonight. Thank you for the privilege to be able to come tonight. Thank you for this country that we live in. Yes, it's full of troubles and full of problems, but God, I'm still glad, God, that I'm on your side and you're on mine. And I thank you, Father, for what you've done. These things I pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, Brother Eddie.
Amen. Oh, my. Appreciate that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't know about y'all, but... Amen.
You know, sometimes you dwell on events. You miss some meaning. I never will forget the... God called me to preach 25 years ago. But I still remember God called me to preach. My dad left my mother for another woman. Lowest place in my life. God called me to preach right in the middle of all that. Announced my call to preach on a Wednesday night. I stood up and I said, I've been called to preach. I need your prayer. Sit down. My pastor said, I want you to preach for me this Sunday night. And I feel like Ichabod Crane. I'm just telling you. Oh, my. The devil got me and the devil got on a first name basis. But that first time that I stood up to preach, I didn't know nothing about preaching. I didn't know God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I didn't know nothing. But I remember that first night I got up there to preach, preached on the dangers of despising. And God carried me like a little suckling child. And I hate to admit this, but I actually thought, well, there's nothing to this. Well, the next time I got asked to preach, God withdrew himself and it put lonely up here. He didn't put no wind in my sails. I wasn't going nowhere. But I realized that how much I needed him. Brother Mark preached tonight how much we need the Lord.
Right. Yeah, right.
We need the chastening of the Lord. We need the correction of the Lord. Mm-hmm. We need, the instructions, the Holy Spirit. We're just not going to get too far without God.
Amen.
Appreciate the message. It's one of them kind of messages you can get some help from. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Bible says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing is trying you. But knowing this, that the trial of your faith bringeth forth patience. Sometimes you got to be like gold. You got to be refined. You got to get some dross out. You got to get some things, you know, where they need to be. I mean, God will use you. But he's got to get you where you can be used.
Yeah.
And I like that message tonight. God got Saul, which became Paul, where he could use him. Mm-hmm. Like Brother Mark said, it wasn't necessarily the way Saul or Paul wanted it, but it was what Saul or Paul needed. Amen.
Right.
I don't know about y'all, but I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been like Joel, where is he? Amen. Mm. I've been down weeping, praying, Lord, where are you at? I know the Bible says never very far from any one of us we can find him. We felt after him there sometime, but I couldn't find him, and I couldn't feel him, but he was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, he was there. Amen. I'm gonna get Brother Jerry come up here and sing a verse of invitation to him, and I certainly enjoyed that message tonight.
Amen.
You may not, but Peter said, "Let every man minister as the Lord gives ability." Right. Brother Mark's right, but this is not no cakewalk. If God don't give it, we might as well say, now we ain't got nothing.
Right.
But when God gives it, I love it. I pull up the table and say, can I have some more?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Let's get Sister Sharon, Brother Jerry, everybody stand. You may not need to do a single thing now. It's a good church. The thing I like about this church, everything in this church is real.
That's right.
And I wouldn't go, I'm like Brother Mark, I wouldn't go to some of them like a funeral home, you know what I mean? They throw the song books out. They throw the Bible out. I don't know what they even meet for. I don't know. But I like it. But praise God, you can feel something. I felt something here. Now, I felt it when the singing was going on.
Amen.
I felt it, amen, when the praying was going on. I felt it when the preaching was going on.
Amen.
I like it like that. I don't know about you, but I like it like that.
Amen.
Amen.
Number 105.